First of all, the water is back on at University Place Mall this morning after a water main break yesterday afternoon that knocked out the water and forced some businesses to close early. Spokesperson for Owosso said the disruption was caused by a construction contractor hitting a water line. Repair work lasted several hours before the water came back up. Good news on the COVID-19 front, meanwhile, with new data from the state health department showing a big drop in COVID numbers last week, a 19% dip in hospitalizations from the week before, and a 40% drop in COVID particles found in wastewater. Even with that drop, COVID numbers are still higher than they've been for nearly all of last year, so health experts are still urging everyone to take precautions, wear a mask in crowded indoor spaces, stay home when you're sick, and stay up to date on your COVID vaccine. The Chapel Hill Carrboro City School Board meets tonight at 6 in the Southern Human Services Center on Homestead Road. Board members will receive a donation from Carol Woods and they'll discuss their legislative agenda for the General Assembly. But the biggest issue is not on the official agenda. It's the board's first meeting since last week's article in the NNO that raised concerns about plagiarism in Superintendent Nia Hamlet's doctoral dissertation. And there was expected to be a large public turnout with residents wanting to weigh in. In Raleigh, legal trouble for state auditor Beth Wood, who's reportedly facing a misdemeanor charge for a hit-and-run incident last month that resulted in some property damage. Few details on the incident, but multiple outlets are reporting Wood was charged on December 12th. She's due in court next week, Thursday. Back locally, the Orange County Arts Commission made an exciting announcement this week. They're launching a new month-long summer festival. The Uproar Festival of Public Art will run from July 14th through August 12th with 60 large-scale artworks on display across the county. Get more info on the festival via a link on our website, chapelboro.com. Now we turn to the economy, where Chatham County has seen an explosion in large-scale proposed developments, from the VinFast electric vehicle plant in Moncure to a $5 billion chip manufacturing facility in Siler City, and most recently, a 500-acre mixed-use development proposed west of Pittsboro. How are county leaders managing all the new development while also preserving the county's other needs and interests? County Commissioner Karen Howard addressed that earlier this week on 97.9 The Hill.
We know that we need to address the affordable housing piece. We know that we need to preserve some green space, that we need to have land to build schools. Public demands are still going to be really high for things like parks and recreation, for libraries. So we have to keep in mind that not all of our land can just be speculatively developed in the interest of business. Some of it is going to have to be just for the common good. They don't have to clash, but it does mean that we always have to be aware of the extent to which land is being developed. You never go back, right? You never undevelop land and turn it green again. And one of the main things that Chatham County residents have consistently said is important to them is preservation of our green space and our rural character. We can't do that if we allow the entire county to be purchased and developed. But I think our zoning helps in that regard. I'm very hopeful that our Recode Chatham, our UDO work, will be completed within the next 12 to 18 months, and we will have a really great guiding tool for developers, for people that are interested in investing in Chatham, to know what it is that we're looking for and what are the kinds of applications that are going to land well with both the planning board and the Board of Commissioners, as we are becoming more diverse, becoming more developed, but still want to be a community where everyone can afford to live, where the people that work here can live here. And a great education is an option for every kid in Chatham County, that there are green spaces and clean water and air. Those are the investments and decisions that we have to make up front that are the more challenging ones, but they're critical.
That's Chatham County Commissioner Karen Howard speaking there. While Chatham County is seeing lots of big business news, Orange County also recently saw a unique new business venture, Aquamation, an eco-friendly afterlife disposal process. A new business in Hillsboro is starting to get its first customers now, as 97.9 The Hill's Brighton McConnell reports.
Hunter Beatty is still relatively new to working around death. The Orange County resident made a pretty significant career change 1 year ago when he switched from working in real estate and decided to create one of the handful of aquamation services offered in North Carolina. Sitting in the welcoming area of his Hillsboro business, Endswell, Beatty describes his journey into the industry of alternative funeral care as both environmentally friendly and service-based. It started when Beatty read about the death of South African leader and activist Desmond Tutu last January. He says he remembers sitting at the Carrboro Farmers Market, learning that Tutu was choosing cremation by water, and looking up over at the nearby cemetery.
It was probably the first time I really questioned this practice of preserving dead bodies, putting them in shiny, ornate boxes, putting those in concrete vaults so the ground doesn't collapse, and then taking the space that could be used by the community, that could be used to house people, and using it for dead body storage.
Beatty, who also previously worked in renewable energy, says he put a deposit down on an aquamation machine just a few weeks later. The process is slowly becoming more common as North Carolina made it legal in 2018. Once Enswell opened its doors in late 2022, it became just the third location in the state to offer the water cremation service. While the research on the energy used for cremation versus aquamation is still being determined, Beatty says the process itself and result is much more environmentally conscious.
The goal of both cremation and aquamation is to remove the soft tissue that would otherwise decompose and return bone remains to the family. They're identical processes in that respect. From there, it gets different. The soft tissue has to go somewhere. Cremation combusts it at 1,700-1,800 degrees. It goes up through a chimney, along with any mercury from dental fillings, and into the air we breathe. Toxic gases, greenhouse gases.
Aquamation, meanwhile, is also known as alkaline hydrolysis and involves a solution that is 95% water and 5% potassium hydroxide.
Very heavy door. This basket slides out. The body's placed into the basket, then the top part is placed in.
The process takes place in a cylindrical steel chamber that takes up just a quarter of the space in Beatty's back room at Enswell.
Once the body's placed in the machine and the door is shut, I tilt the entire machine upward, which gets the potassium hydroxide off of the seal and also allows us to use less water.
Over the course of a few hours, the solution converts the carbohydrates, fats, and proteins that make up a body into materials that can be filtered out at a wastewater treatment plant, which is where the water is flushed to once the aquamation is finished. Then, Enswell removes the bones, crushes them into a powder, and places them into an urn for the family. While the aquamation process is relatively unique, Beatty is aiming for his urn offerings to be unique as well. He said from his family's experience selecting a vessel after his father's passing, he was disappointed that many urns are mass-produced, garish, or a combination of both.
And it just struck me as odd that when you're remembering and honoring a special and unique person, that you wouldn't do so with art, with something unique that maybe suited their taste or suits your taste.
Instead, Enswell customers can choose a lower price package of a bamboo vessel for remains, or select from the hundreds of urns on display in the business's gallery. Beatty says he's partnering with potters from Orange County and across North Carolina to fill the space with pieces meant to be more meaningful. Ultimately, Beatty says he believes his work with Enswell will be even more meaningful to him, too. While he describes starting his business as so busy that he's still processing his emotions, he says he's beginning to appreciate how his services are based on a, quote, longer-term relationship with the community. Already, there are dozens of people who have signed up for the local aquamation service, and Beatty says that listening to those patrons describe their decision is powerful.
So I think that even though I never really wanted to get into funeral work, this business just still really aligns with those values of doing something that's ecologically responsible, but also community-focused, community service-focused.
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Brighton McConnell.
Time is 6:16. It is time now for sports, brought to you this hour by Almaz Jewelers. First, we'll look at Tar Heel women's basketball as the Carolina-Duke rivalry continues tonight. The 17th-ranked Tar Heels are hosting the 13th-ranked Blue Devils in Carmichael Arena. UNC riding a three-game winning streak, including wins over two ranked teams. Meanwhile, Duke has been near perfect, sitting in first place in the ACC with a 6-0 conference record and coming into tonight's matchup with an 11-game winning streak. Other than a win at NC State, though, the Blue Devils haven't beat beaten an opponent as strong as Carolina yet. Tip-off time is 8 p.m. We'll have all the action for you right here on 97.9 The Hill, beginning with pregame coverage at 7:30. The Tar Heel men are still a couple days away from their next game, Saturday against NC State, but UNC is celebrating already this week after landing a big recruit for 2024, five-star guard Ian Jackson. As Inside Carolina's Ross Martin told us earlier this week, Jackson adds to a recruiting class that was already ranked among the best in the nation.
Yeah, so they have four commitments right now. Ian Jackson, Elliot Cadeau, who is a point guard, kind of a pure point guard, a big man, and James Brown, who committed recently as well, and then Drake Powell out of down the road in Pittsburgh at Northwood High School. So they have four commitments. All of them are in the top 50, two five-stars, two four-stars. And Ian Jackson is more of the wing shooting guard. He can definitely handle the ball and be a lead guard as well. But he's more of that pure score, shooter, drive the basket type player. And, you know, they have the point guard committed in Elliot Cadeau, but you don't turn down a commitment from a player like this. And they are different positions. And Ian Jackson will be more of an off-ball player, whereas Cadeau, a five-star point guard, will have the ball in his hands. And there's also a chance that one of them or both of them enroll early. I think more likely for Cadeau to do that, meaning they're in the 24 class right now. They could reclassify to the 23 class and enroll a year early. It's becoming more and more common. You know, it's a huge commitment, and you give a pure score, which they need in this class. They didn't really have that kind of pure alpha dynamic score. That's what Jackson will bring.
That's Ross Martin of InsideCarolina.com speaking there. Over to tennis now, where the second-ranked Tar Heel women swept NC Central yesterday, their fifth win in the last 6 days. Tar Heel men are in action later today, hosting duels against Campbell and NC Central. Elsewhere in sports, congrats to Tar Heel gymnast Lali Dekanoidze and Julia Noer. They earned honors from the East Atlantic Gymnastics League after last week's win over NC State. Noer was named Gymnast of the Week, and Dekanoidze was named Specialist of the Week. Congrats also to Matt Clark, associate head coach for UNC Men's Golf. He's just been named as an assistant coach for Team USA when they compete in the Arnold Palmer Cup this June. And speaking of coaching honors, big congrats to Fiona Cunningham, head volleyball coach at Cedar Ridge High School. News of Orange reports she's just been named North Carolina Volleyball Coach of the Year. And finally, the Carolina Hurricanes are back in action tonight, hosting the Minnesota Wild in NHL action. Face-off time tonight is 7 p.m. in PNC Arena.